women and men have been insisting on women's rights to the same economic and political choices that are available to most men. And as I say, that has huge implications for families, for men, for children. I'm going to refer to this historic shift as women's movement into full citizenship, politically and economically. Feminism is part of that historical story. It's that set of political ideas and strategies that question any form of subordination that's based on sex. I'll give you an overview right now of my argument, my historical argument, about why feminism has become critical to our lives and our politics in the 21st century. And the argument goes, for much of human history, gender hierarchy was taken for granted, that men should have authority over women, that only at a particular point historically did a critique of patriarchy, or men's rule in the family, appear. And that appeared a couple of hundred years ago for two major historical reasons. One, the rise of democratic political theory, and two, the wage labor systems and market economies that transformed the world economic system. During that transition from hierarchical to democratic politics, from subsistence family economies to a market economy with wage labor, during that transition, the gap in gender actually increased. That is, men increasingly had new rights as citizens and as workers that women did not necessarily enjoy. And it's out of that increasing gap in the life experiences, the opportunities, the privileges of men and women, that these feminist critiques emerged to say, we want to extend to women what men are experiencing in the world. Now, when feminism emerges in that historic moment about 200 years ago, it's not monolithic. It's not a single ideology or political movement. There are many strains of feminism. A second theme is that feminism is never monolithic and it is never static. There are often many competing forms of feminist politics and strategies. They influence each other and they change over time.